admire is that important. You have to say it every night. So I'm wondering if the...
So, and it, once upon a, going back, so the opinion that Marav isn't obligatory, it is actually, I think, the prevailing opinion. However, because we have just accepted upon ourselves to daven Marav, so at this point we no longer have the option of saying we don't have to do it anymore. Just because we've been doing it, we've accepted it, and so that's sort of, it's become, you know, just part of the obligatory liturgy. We have to say it at this point. Right. It doesn't have the same level as chakras or mincha in terms of an obligation, although we can't skip it anymore. But that's the reason why women really don't have to daven Marav, because it was of all the tefillos, you know, that of between those three tefillos during the day. Chakras and mincha are the obligatory ones. Marav was the one that wasn't so much, but it was only the men who really accepted upon themselves to daven Marav, not the women, and so we have to do it, and they don't. Okay, so now moving on a little bit more with regards to Kriya Shema, and we're continuing from the Brisa that was quoted earlier. So Amar Mar Kori Kriya Shema Umispalel. So what we do also is you say Kriya Shema and then you say Shmona Esrei. So Misayele Rabbi Yochanan. So this statement that you first say Kriya Shema and then you daven Shmona Esrei is a proof to that which Rabbi Yochanan said. What did he say? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ezahu Ben Olam Haba. Who is a person who is worthy of Olam Haba, the world to come? Ze hasomech geula l'tfila shel arvis. It's the person who juxtaposes geula. We'll just leave geula as geula for a second. To the Shmona Esrei of Marav. Geula here is referring to saying Kriya Shema with the accompanying brachos that we know we have in Marav, which, like, we conclude either Gal Yisrael, like we in the morning we say Gal Yisrael, we refer to the redemption in those brachos that we say in connection with Kriya Shema, and we have that right before Shmona Esrei. So the person who is puts Geula next to Tfila, meaning Kriya Shema and the accompanying brachos next to Shmona Esrei, is a Ben Olam Haba. So you see over here, what is the order that Rabbi Yochanan states? It's your Someich Geula, first Kriya Shema, Litfila Sha'arvis, to Shmona Esrei. So it appears that Shema's coming first. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Tfilos Be'emza Tiknum. That Shmona Esreis were established in between Shema's, meaning that you look at Shema as bookends. You have a Shema in the morning, and you have a Shema at night. And in between those Shemas, you have your Shmona Esreis. So according to this opinion, in the morning you say Shema and Shmona Esrei, and then Mincha you have Shmona Esrei, and in Marav you're going to have Shmona Esrei and Shema. So that's the opinion of... that's the opinion of Yeshua ben Levi, which is not... Rabbi Yochanan says, you say Shema and then Shmona Esrei. Yeshua ben Levi is saying it's just the opposite, that you say Shmona Esrei and then Shema.
Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is talking about the Marav, right? He's not talking about the Kriya Shema.
Correct. He's talking about what you... Right. So... In this case, like he says that, you know, you start with Shema and you're going to end with Shema, and all the Shmona Esreis are going to be in between. So b'may kumitlugi. So with what are they arguing? What is the source of machlokes? Ibayis e makra, ibayis e masvara. There are those that say it's based on psukim, and there are those that say it's just based on logic. Ibayis e masvara. Those who say it's based on logic, Rabbi Yochanan Savar Geula Meurta Anami Hava. That Rabbi Yochanan held that the Geula the salvation of the Bnei Yisrael occurred in the evening. Ella Geula Malyasa Lahavia Ella Ad Safra. But the ultimate redemption and salvation of the Bnei Yisrael didn't occur until the morning. So which is why you can have Geula before you say Kriyash, you have your Kriyashma, which is your Geula, before the Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar, Kevin de Lohavia Elamit Safra, Lohavi Geula Malyasa. Since that the ultimate redemption didn't really occur until the day, so then you're not going to have that wasn't the ultimate, the one at evening wasn't the ultimate Geula, and so you're going to start, it all depends on, you know, where you're going to put it. You're going to want it definitely day, definitely night, or in your Shmona Esrei is in between, which is what he holds, because you're trying to figure out where the whole point is that you're trying to remember this redemption. So if the complete redemption didn't occur until the morning, then the one that happened at night wasn't so great, so there's no reason that you would want to connect it necessarily to Shmona Esrei. So you can have it afterwards. If the Geula, according to the Shita, the first Shita, Rabbi Yochanan, there were two Geulas. There was a redemption that started at night, and there was also a redemption that started at day. So it would make sense, both at night and at day, we'll put the discussion of the redemption, meaning Kriyashma, right before Shmona Esrei, because there was an element of redemption by both. But according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, at night, the complete redemption had yet to occur. So there's no compelling reason to have to put the discussion of the redemption before Shmona Esrei. He would still hold. You want it's a good thing. There is an inyan to put geula before tefillah, but that's only at a time when there really was a geula, and the real geula when was the Bnei Yisrael really saved from Mitzrayim? Well, that happened during the day. That's when they went out. So that's why in the morning we say Kriya Shema before Shmona Esrei, but at night. There's no reason to, because the real redemption had yet to occur. So there's no compelling reason to put it first, and then you'll say Kriya Shema last. So that's a reason based on logic. Now we have a reason based on Psukim. Yibayis Emara Kra. There are those that say it's all based on a pasuk, Ushnei Mikro Echa Darshu, and they actually both derive it from the same pasuk. Dechsiv, the pasuk says that you're supposed to say Shema, or Bishach Becha, when you go to sleep, Uv Kumecha, and when you awake, when you arise. So Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you always say Shema before Shmona Esrei, Makish Shchiva Lekima. He makes a comparison, he extrapolates from going to sleep from when you wake up. Ma kima, just as when you wake up, Kriya Shema, you say Kriya Shema va'achar kach tefillah, and then Shmona Esrei. So af shchiva also when you're in the time period when you would go to sleep, nami Kriya Shema va'achar kach tefillah. You will also keep it in the same order. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Safar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds, Makish Chiva Likima. You compare when you go to sleep to when you wake up. Makima Kriyashma Samach Lemitaso. When you wake up, which tefillah is closest to when you were last asleep? That's going to be Kriyashma, because you wake up and then you say Kriyashma and then Shmona Esrei. So Av Shchiva, so when you go to sleep, Nami, it should also be the same thing. What prayer should be closest to when you go to sleep? When you go back to sleep, that's Kriya Shema, which means Shmona Esrei has to be before it. So come Ashkiva Nami Kriyashma Samalita. So Kriyashma should also be closest to when you are going to go to bed. And that's why you have these two different opinions as to when you're supposed to say Kriyashma and Maariv. Is it before Shmona Esrei or afterwards? And we know what we do.
So Rabbi Yochanan held that you're supposed to say Kriyashma before your tefillah.
Right. Tefillah is referring to Shmona Esrei.
Yeah, but I guess somehow he's not including Mincha, or at least how we hold today.
The pasuk is just Kriyat Shema b'shachvecha of kumecha. It's just when you wake up, when you go to sleep. This is one in the morning, one at night. And it's just the machlokas, the disagreement is how you figure that out, and which is just what we just discussed. You know, where you put it in the morning and when you put it in the evening.
So how is the carbon mincha somehow different than carbon shachar or the carbon, I guess? And
we still have a Shmona Esrei by Mincha,
right.
We just don't have Shema, because Shema it's only it's just one when in the morning and at night, so as part of Shacharis, and now we have incorporated as the part of Maariv. So now once we've discussed that and we just introduced the concept that you're supposed to have that Geula Samach Litvila. So now there's some explanation that's warranted. So Masav Marbarei Ravina, Mar the son of Ravina asks, but Erev Mavarek Shtein Lefaneha V'Shtein Lachareha. One second. You look at Maariv. There's two brachos that we recite before saying Kriyashma, and then there are two brachos that we recite after Kriyashma. V'i Amriz Boi Lismoch. And if you're going to say that you need to literally juxtapose Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei, ha lo kasamach ulu l'tfila to haboy l'memar hashkivenu. They're not next to each other. You're not putting geula Kriya Shema l'tfila right next to tfila because you need to say the bracha of hashkivenu. There's another bracha in there. So there's something interrupting the placement of Kriya Shema right next to Shmona Esrei. So Imri, Kevin de Takinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu, Kigula Arichta Damya. Since the Rabbanan established that you're supposed to make this bracha of Hashkivenu, so it's considered like one long discussion of Geula, even though the bracha of Hashkivenu itself doesn't necessarily discuss Geula. And it's part of Birchos Kriyashma. But once it was established as part of that prayer service, so it's considered one long geula section that's then put right next to tefillah. De'ilo te'mahachi, because if you didn't say like this, I mean you didn't use this concept, so shachris hechi matzi samech. It's not going to work by chakras either. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila omar Hashem sefosai tiftach ulusofu omar yihil ratzon imrefi. Because what do we see by what we say Shmona Esrei in the morning? We know we say, before we start Shmona Esrei, Hashem sefosai tiftach ufi agitil asecha. And so we have this pasuk that interrupts in between what we would consider the geula, which was the recitation of Kriya Shema and Berchos Kriya Shema, and the actual start of Shmona Esrei. And then at the end of Shmona Esrei, we say Yudu Ratzon Imrei Fi. So Ella Hasam over there came the Tikna Rabban LeMeimar Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Kitfila Arichta Damya. Just as the Rabbanan established that you say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach before you start Shmona Esrei. And that's considered part and parcel of Shmona Esrei, so it's not considered anything that interrupts. So you do have a geula next to a tefillah. So hachanami. So the same is true with regards to Maariv. Kevin t'takinu rabbanu l'memar hashkivenu. Since the rabbanan established that you're supposed to say the bracha of hashkivenu ki geula richta damya, it's like one long bracha of geula. So you really do have Shema right next to Kriya Shema. Okay. So, a little bit more about other things having to do with davening. So, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Avina, Kol HaOmer Tehila LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Pa'amim, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Anyone who says Tehila LeDavid, what we generally know as what we call Ashrei, even though Ashrei isn't part of... Ashrei is just one a pasuk of Tehillim that's not really with the rest of that chapter. Tehillah the David is the actual start of that chapter of Tehillim, but we preface it with Ashrei. So if you say Ashrei every day three times, so it's guaranteed that you're going to be a Ben Olam Haba. That's a pretty good promise. So my time up. So why? What's so special about saying Ashrei? Ilema mishun da'asya ba'aleph beis, if you're going to say it's because, if you look at Ashrei, it basically goes according to the letters of the aleph beis, from aleph to tav, excluding nun, which we'll get, to in a minute. But if that's the case, so then, Neima Ashrei Tamime Derech Ta'asya B'Tamanya Apin. If you look at Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, chapter 119 in Tehillim, you will find that it too goes according to the Aleph Beis, but it doesn't have just one pasuk for each letter in the Aleph Beis, it has eight. That's really long. So, I don't know if you want to say that three times a day, but putting that aside, The fact that the psukim would go according to the letters of the aleph beis can't be the reason. So the question is, well, what makes it so special that it goes according to the letters of the aleph beis? So there's a whole bunch of different opinions. It's either because you can say it utilizes every single letter in the alphabet, which is a reference, or like allegorically speaking, like the Torah, that it's all encompassing, that's one, or that by using every letter you're forced to, or you end up using your mouth to vocalize pretty much every single different sound that you can, so you're using like every essence of your being by using every letter of the alphabet. It's all these different explanations, but There's something special about using going in the order of the Aleph Beis that makes it particularly significant. But nonetheless, Ashrei isn't the only chapter in Tehillim that is structured that way. And in fact, we said chapter 119 has each letter of the Aleph Beis in eight verses, not just one. So that would seem to be a lot more significant, yet we don't say that anything, that you're a Ben Olam Haba if you say Kuf Yud Tes. So, Ela Mishum De Izbei Poseach Es Yadecha. The reason why it's special is because it has the verse that Poseach Es Yadecha Maspil Ochol Chai Rason, that Hashem opens his hand and satisfies the needs of each in person to everyone's needs. Meaning, it makes the reference to Chazal say it's a significant pasuk because it speaks of Hashem providing for us and giving us what we need. But again, the Gemara still has a problem with that, because if the reason why is because it has a verse that speaks to Hashem taking care of all of human beings, all of his creations, and providing for them. So name a Hallel Hagadol. If you look in Hallel, the Tehillim that are said is Hallel, in it we have a pasuk of Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, an expression of a similar concept that Hashem gives bread to all living flesh. Meaning, again, another expression of Hashem providing for mankind. So Ashrei is not the only chapter in Tehillim that has such an expression. So again, what makes Ashrei special? So Ela Mishum De Isbei Tarti. Well, because it has both. It has both of these qualities. A, it goes according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. And B, it discusses Hashem provides for all mankind. And because it has both of these qualities, if you say it three times every day, so then it's Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. It's guaranteed that you will be a Ben Olam Haba.
But it's missing. He says missing one of the letters.
Ah, so here we go.
There's another little tichlum, I think, that goes backwards, right? But it does have every letter. Does it have every letter?
Not sure.
Which one's the letter?
I can't remember, but I think there's one that goes backwards. We have it.
Well, so now the Gemara is about to say, "Amar Rav Yochanan, Yibnei La Nomar Nun Ba'Ashrei." So why is there? But there isn't. As we just said, it's missing the letter Nun in Ashrei. So why? Yibnei Sheyesh Ba Ma'Palton Shoshanei Yisrael, because it discusses the downfall of the enemies of Yisrael. And here, when it says enemies of Yisrael, it's just a nicer way of referring to Yisrael. We don't want to actually say the downfall of Yisrael. So the Gemara put it in a nicer way to refer to the enemies, although it actually is referring to Yisrael itself.
That's why there's no nun.
Yeah, dichsiv, because we see the word nun, which is the first letter in the tefillah in downfall, and the pasuk says nafla lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael. So there's this pasuk speaks that says that she has fallen, meaning the nation of Israel, and she will no longer arise, the maiden of Yisrael. So being that there's a pasuk that starts with Nun, which refers to the downfall of Klal Yisrael, so we don't want to use that letter in this tehillah, because it has a negative connotation or a negative reference. So b'marava, but in Eretz Yisrael, mitarzi lahacha. They had a way of explaining that pasuk in a more positive fashion. They said, Nafla v'lo tosif linpol od, that B'nai Yisrael has fallen, yet they will not fall anymore, kum besulas Yisrael, that the maiden of Yisrael will arise. Notwithstanding that, so Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, afilu hachi, even so, even you can find a good spin on that pasuk where that nefila isn't as bad as it could be. So Chazar David v'samchan beruach hakodesh, that David came along, and then mentioned support for Klal Yisrael for those who had fallen with his ruach hakodesh. Shenemar, because what is the next line in Ashrei where after the absent nun? It's Selmech Hashem l'chol ha-noflim. So the nun, the noflim, is sort of referred to in Selmech Hashem l'chol ha-noflim. So the nun isn't explicitly there, but in the pasuk of the Samach, where it says that Hashem supports those who have fallen, that's the sort of where you have your reference to the nun. So being that we just completed a little bit of discussion of something which Rabbi Elazar Amar Ravina said. So the Gemara is going to throw in another lesson from Rabbi Elazar Bar Ravina. That Amar Elazar Bar Ravina, Godol Bar Sha'amar Shenemar B'Mechol, Yosef Mar Shenemar B'Gavriel. That which was said with regards to the angel Mechol was greater than that which was said in reference to the angel Gavriel. De'ilu B'Mechol, because by the angel Michal Ksiv it's written, Vayoif Eli Echad Min Hasrafim. One of the Srafim, or one of these angels, flew to me. Ve'ilu Gabi Gavriel Ksiv, but by Gavriel it said, Ve'ha'ish Gavriel Asher Isi Bechazon, the man Gavriel that I saw in a vision, Batchila Muaf Vayoif. That I saw earlier in my vision, Muaf Bayaif. He floated, or he flew, and he took flight. So it has a double expression of flying, as opposed to the first pasuk, which is just one expression of flying. So the reason why one is greater than the other is because if you only, it's sort of like the difference between a non-stop and a stopover. if you might prefer a non-stop flight because it's direct. If you have to have a stopover, you have to land and continue. So that's not as preferred. And it shows that when these angels went to do whatever they were appointed to do, so the angel Michal was able to go direct, Gavriel had to stop along the way. So that shows that whatever task it was, either didn't have the same degree of importance, or he wasn't allowed to go and do it directly for whatever reason. And the Gemara is going to talk about that in a second. But before we get into that, the Gemara has to deal with a threshold question, because if you look at the pasuk with regards to Michal, all the pasuk says is Vayoif alai echad min hasrafim, that if one of the angels flew to me, it doesn't say who he is. So the Gemara says, "My mashma the high echad." What? From where does it imply that when it refers to echad, one of the angels in that pasuk, Michalhu, that it's reference to Michal? So Rav Yochanan asya echad echad. It's because there's going to be another pasuk where it uses the word echad, and it's in reference to Michal. K'siu hachavayoyf elai echad min asrafim, because the pasuk that we just said. You said one of the angels flew, and it uses a lashon of echad. B'ksiv hasam, and there's another pasuk over there that says v'hinei mechol echad hashar harishonim bala azreini. That the mechol was one of the princes and the heavenly princes who was one of the head ones who came to help me. So you see there's a reference to Echad by Michal. So we'll say that another place where it just refers to Echad without explicitly naming him is a reference to Michal as well. So, now getting back to the original point that we said Michal was greater. Tana Michal v'achas, Michal had only used one expression of flying, Gavriel b'shtayim, but Gavriel had had two. But not only that, when it came to performing the tasks, so Eliyahu ba'arba, when Eliyahu did what he had to do, he had to take four stops. Malach HaMaves b'shmona, and the Malach HaMaves has to stop eight times. The explanation for that is because Hashem doesn't want the Malach HaMaves to go direct, because he wants people to have the opportunity to tshuva. So if you make, multiple stopovers, it takes him a lot longer to get there. Maybe the time he gets there, there will be nothing for him to do because the person has done tshuva already. However, b'shas hamagefa, but when it's in the midst of plague, ba'achas, then the Malach HaMaves is allowed to go nonstop, without a stop. But that's what we'll stop for tonight.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.